from our first reading, Revelation chapter 7. And the one who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. In the summer of 2012, I met the most secure person that I've ever met before. His name was Manuel. He was 86 years old. He lived about 20 miles northeast of Guatemala City in a real remote village in Guatemala. And he welcomed me into his house one afternoon. And, well, it wasn't really a house. It was Manuel's house, but it was more like a shelter, a makeshift place to live in. It was smaller than my office, less than 100 square feet. And the walls were made out of trees, just branches of trees that he had tied together and planted into the ground. His floor was dirt, soil. He didn't have hardwood or any carpet or anything like that. You walked in, and his bed was right there on the left. It was just a piece of wood that he slept on to stay off the dust, I guess. There was a clothesline in his hut. It had one shirt and one pair of jeans hanging from it. That's all he had. Well, except for the pair he had on, thankfully. He had two shirts, two pairs of jeans. And for whatever reason, I still don't know why Manuel had a fire going in the back left corner, because it was 103 degrees that day, and my sunglasses were literally melting on my face, but Manuel had a fire going. I still don't know why. Maybe because for food or something. But if you ever walked into poverty like that, the poorest of the poor, if you've ever been on a mission trip and gone and seen poverty like that, there's instantly two things that you feel, and you can't help it, it's kind of automatic. You instantly feel sorry for them, and you instantly feel this sense of like this gratitude and thankfulness for all the things that you have back at home that you used to take for granted, and now no longer in that moment you don't. And I remember thinking that. I stepped foot in Manuel's house, and I instantly felt sorry for him. I thanked God that I didn't have to live like Manuel. And I started thanking God for all the things that I had back at home. And we didn't have anything nice. We lived in an apartment, but it was 960 square feet. It was nine times larger than Manuel's house. And we had vaulted ceilings in our apartment, our first one in St. Louis. And Manuel's ceilings were like 6 feet. He was a short man and didn't bother him. And I felt secure where we lived. You had to key card into the parking lot. It was gated access. And you had to key card into the complex. And you had to key card into our door. Manuel had a flap for his door. There's no locks, nothing. And I remember thinking, I could not sleep peacefully at night if I lived here. But the more I visited with Manuel, the more puzzled I became. There was just something about him, something about Manuel. Something, you could see it in his eyes, the way he carried himself, you could see it in his heart, that he was secure. He was content, that he was at peace. And I've never met someone who lived that securely ever before. And I realized something about myself while I was sitting there, that Manuel lives secure and I don't. Which is rather odd to say for an American male in their 20s to say that I'm not living securely, because security is one of our idols in our country. Security is one of the most important things. It's on everyone's radar. We put a lot of stock in security in America to feel safe. In fact, last year, Americans spent a record number on home security systems. We spent over $20.6 billion to secure our homes. And for those who don't have home security systems, we also reached another record. 39% now of American adults now own a gun. So if you don't have the security system, some of you have a gun. And for those who don't have a security system or a gun, 35% of us have dogs, vicious dogs. Watch out if you come to my house. Titus will lick your face off. We put a lot of stock in security, and yet we still don't sleep peacefully at night, do we? Still don't feel entirely safe, especially when there's a madman on the loose, Ian McCarthy. None of us slept safe that night. Or you still go to bed and make sure all the doors are locked, and you still wonder if someone might break in and what you would do. We secure our homes. Oh, speaking of which, our homes are so secure for us. 1973 was the first time we started keeping track of square footage of the average American home. It was 1,600 square feet was the average American home in 1973. Last year, we set a new record. The previous record was in 2007, right before the housing bubble crash, just four-year warning. Last year, the average American square foot home registered at 2,600 square feet. We've increased our homes 1,000 square feet in 40 or so years, which is odd because we also set another record. This is the last record I'm going to give you. I know, too many numbers, I'm sorry. We set another record for the lowest amount of people per household. All new record we are in America. Only 2.54 people per house in our country. I don't know how you get 0.54, it's a stat. So we're building bigger homes and we're filling them with less people. And I take stock of how we live in our country, and a few things become evident to me: that we are building bigger houses, we're spending a lot more money and a lot of our worry on security, and yet we still don't have enough space, and we still don't feel safe. Isn't that kind of weird? Isn't it odd? Isn't it odd that we put so much stock in this, and yet it's still not there? We don't have security or at peace. Our shelters are nice, though. We have beautiful shelters in America. Our homes, our security, the American force is the envy of the world, but they don't seem quite to deliver. They're not all sufficient. Manuel's house, it was not glitzy, it wasn't glamorous at all, but it was all sufficient for him. He was at peace. Because there's only one shelter in this entire world, in our entire lives, that we can find true peace and true security, and that shelter is a throne. And on that throne, there's a lamb. And that lamb lives to shelter his people with his presence. And that's the only place we can find security, is in his presence. And Manuel had that. He had the most, he was so secure. I wish you could meet him. He's not here with us anymore. He's a saint. On All Saints Day, he died in the faith. He was secure, and I'm not. But Manuel wasn't secure because of his house, and we're not insecure because of our houses. This isn't a sermon about houses. The Lord doesn't care about the externals. Doesn't care if you have a $2 million house or a hut. This isn't about that. It's the heart of a man that the Lord cares about. It's in the heart that we find the shelters that we've been making for ourselves that we go into to find security and peace. It's in the heart of a woman that you go and you find the shelters that you have been working on your entire life that we run into to find safety and security and peace. It's in the heart. And all of us, you and me, since we were born, we've been making shelters, places that we can find safety and security. And we don't like to talk about them because the shelters that we make aren't good, right? On our journey, most of us, the first shelter that we built, so it's the easiest to get into. It's the most frequently visited on the front door. That shelter, it says pride. Yeah. And we run into that shelter to feel safe when we feel insecure or when we're put down by someone else or when we're questioned and we take stock in ourselves, we take pride in ourselves, and we're right, and we feel better. That's our shelter. Or maybe it's not for you. Maybe you don't visit that shelter too frequently. It's the next one that's a little bit bigger on the journey, and on the front of that door, it says lust. And you run into that shelter to find peace and security and just relief from the burdens of this world. And so you delight in your sinful passions, and you feel good. That's what it's all about in that shelter. And there you have peace. But maybe pride and lust, not even on your radar. It's the next one the one at the very end of the row that you never feel like you get to, and that one is huge, and it says perfection on the front door. And there's tons of cracks, and the foundation is all off, and it drives you crazy because you go into that shelter to try to find peace by doing everything right. I got to be perfect. I got to have the right words, and I got to fulfill my responsibilities perfectly. And then when I do that right, and I don't make any mistakes when I'm preaching a sermon, then I'll have peace. But those shelters, we lock from the inside. We love to be in them. We run into them all the time. It's the other shelters on the road that lock from the outside that no one likes to talk about. So they're dark and scary, the ones that say depression. And it's dark in there, and you desperately want out. You're still mourning the death of someone. And you can't find a light. You can't find one good feeling. You can't have a good day. And if you could get out of that shelter, then you'd find peace outside back in the world. The other shelter that no one likes to talk about on the front door, that one says addiction. And we run in there. Alcohol is laid in the cabinets and pornography is on all the screens and drugs are in a place that only you know. And you desperately want out. If only I could get out of this shelter, then I would find peace outside of there. These shelters that we're making for ourselves, they are glitzy and they're glamorous and they have plenty of sex appeal, but they do not deliver. They will not make you safe. They will not give you security. They will not give you contentment. And they will not leave you satisfied. They cannot protect you. You'll leave these shelters shackled still with disillusionment and disappointment, disarray, disaster and death, discontentment. And yet you keep hacking away on those shelters, though. You know, if we put a new roof on this place, it wouldn't be that bad. If I put a fireplace in here, then it might be a little bit better. If I got the perfect job, then I'd find peace. If I found the perfect spouse, then my life would finally be content. If I could perform my duties perfectly, then I would find peace. And so we start hacking away on these shelters that we've been building around our hearts, and we start building walls. That, don't want to go into that room. That room always gives me trouble. So I'm going to put a wall here to keep myself from going in there. And you start hacking away on this wall and making it nice and grand. And then before you know it, the one behind you starts crumbling down. And we spend all of our energy building these shelters. And we never tire of it, especially in a world that no longer seeks the shelter of the Lamb, especially in a culture that is not even paying attention to the shelter of the Lamb who sits on his throne. We're so consumed with ourselves, and we're trapped in the shelters of our own making. You know, all the stuff that we have in our country, we sure aren't a very secure people. And when you get down to the heart of it, your life is filled with insecurity. The Apostle John, he wrote Revelation. He saw the vision. And he records these words that he saw a lamb on a throne who shelters his people with his presence. And he uses this verb for shelter, skeleno, which is so unique because he's the only one who uses this word in the entire New Testament, skeleno, to shelter, to dwell, to move into, to tabernacle, to tent, to shelter his people, that the Lamb on the throne shelters his people. He dwells with his people. He moves in with his people, with his presence, with himself. What's fascinating is the Apostle John, in his gospel, in the Gospel of John, the very first chapter, he says that the Word of God became flesh and he sheltered among us. He dwelt among us. He skelenoed among us. That Jesus, God in flesh, he moved in on our world. He sheltered in our world. He came and he moved in to dwell among us. And the scriptures tell us that he did this while we were still sinners, while we were still stuck in our shelters of sin at the right time, while we were still sinners. That's when Jesus moved in and died for us. It's as if Jesus, he shelters in and he comes into our shelters and he literally shelters our sin. He moves into our sin and takes it upon himself, our lust and our addictions, our pride and our disappointments and disillusionments. He wraps himself into our sin. He moves into it and we put him on a cross and nailed him and shed his blood for the sins of the whole world. And then he sheltered into our grave. He moved into our grave. He dwelled in our tombs for 3 days, and then God raised him from the dead victorious, where he sits on a throne and lives to shelter his people with his presence. Who are these washed in white? They're the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They've washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they're before the throne of God and serve him night and day in his temple. And he shelters them, the one who sits on the throne, with his presence. The Lamb of God lives to shelter you, to protect you, with his presence, not with stuff, with himself. Manuel had eyes that were fixed on the Lamb. You could see it. His heart beat with the strength of the Lord. He carried himself. You could see that he served the Lord day and night and spent a lot of his time basking in the presence of the Lamb. I felt bad because I walked into his house and I said I didn't want to live like him, but now I want to. I want to live like Manuel. The shelter of the Lord, it doesn't promise you that cancer is going to stop at the door. It doesn't promise you that the devil's going to stop attacking you. It doesn't promise that you're going to overcome your addictions like magic, and it doesn't promise you that you're going to reach your dreams that you set for yourself, but it does promise you one thing, and it's all that you need, that you'll have him in his presence with you, that he'll never leave you or forsake you. And that's all we need to be secure. I want that. And so we go to the Lamb, and we can only go through the blood of Christ. We bask in his presence, but where do we go? The last thing I wanted to share with you this morning, and I found it interesting. I was reading the first commentary that we have on Revelations from the 5th century by a pastor named Ocominius. And he must have been Lutheran. He wrote this. He said, "They've washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. To be sure, one might think robes dipped in blood would be red, not white. How is it that they become white? How is it that you find shelter in his presence? As St. Paul declares, baptism is completed in the death of the Lord and wipes clean from every filth of sin, so that those who are baptized in him are made white and clean. And also the reception of the life-giving blood of Christ in his holy supper gives the same grace to a believer. For the Lord said concerning his own blood that it will be poured out for many for their forgiveness and that we should take and drink." This is where we go to bask in the presence of the Lamb in your baptism and Mackenzie May's baptism. The Lord began to build a shelter around your heart to protect you with his presence. And those that we know who've died in the faith, who have been baptized into him, are being sheltered still with his presence. When we come to the supper, the Lord comes to move in, to dwell with us and abide in us and shelter us with his presence. In his word, the Lord is present with us to shelter us. The word, baptism, supper, not glitzy or glamorous, but all sufficient. Amen.